This is the program management team for the flexible network programs. Myself, Abdel Beljulin Toumi, and Dirk Trostan are the industrial management team. The academic co-order is Klaus Musner from University of Surrey, and the participating universities, as you can see there, Imperial College, the LSE, University of Strathclyde and University of Surrey. I think what's interesting about this mix of universities is it brings the thinking that we've had in previous Core 4 and Core 3 programmes from the telecommunication side, kind of mixes this with the social economic thinking more from the LSE side. So it's bringing this new thinking into networks, and that's what impressed me more than anything else in this particular programme. Okay, so this was the original vision that was put forward on it just is, and I think the key thing about this is from a user's perspective that the network connectivity is just there, the networks are transparent to the user, and as new services come online, those services are immediately available to him. So I think these are some of the key aspects, irrespective of what networks these services are deployed on. And really the key aspects of the It Just Is network is that connectivity happens. Secondly, that the optimized delivery happens. So the user expectations on the services is satisfy his needs. And thirdly, the new services, when they're deployed, they will be available to him. And two key challenges, I think Ed talked about them earlier, two key issues we have to think about as we design these type of networks. First of all, it's got to be business model neutral. In the past, we've designed our networks based around a perceived business model. As we see these new services available to all the end users, we begin to see different types of business models. It's not just a relationship between the end user and the operator. Maybe the end user and multiple operators. Maybe the end user and the service providers. And there's also other relationships to be explored between the operator and service providers. So there's a whole set of new business relationships, some which we've not thought about, that the networks of the future need to be able to deal with. And the second aspect is, you know, with all this, we say, complexity in the networks, there needs to be a degree of self-management within those networks. And already there are a number of programs looking at autonomic behaviour in networks and how this can be used to reduce the OPEX for the operators. So this is another key feature in networks of the future, is to see more autonomy in those networks. Okay, so based around this is the goals and the aims of the Flexible Networking Core 5 program. And it's to provide future networks with design methodologies, enabling technologies that promote flexible, agile, dynamic and self-evolving networks. And that sounds quite a mouthful. I think the most important aspect of that in my mind is the flexibility and the agility that the networks will have to meet these new service demands. So we can't go and design a network and expect to know the services that will be there 3-4 years hence. The world's changed, it's not like that anymore. And certainly one of my tasks is standardisation activities. I was involved in UMTS standardisation on the network side 10 years ago. It took us 4 years to design a network that was basically a voice network. You know, it was there to support voice. And at that time, the world had moved on. We got social networking. We got video downloads. And you know, suddenly we found that we needed new thinking on the network side. We now see an LTE. That's bringing some of these aspects a little closer to reality. Secondly, the aim is to identify key socio-economic parameters that affect future network design. And then to use these parameters to help identify suitable technologies to promote the desired future network properties. And what that really means to me is that we focus in on the socio-economic side. That's driving the thinking to networks of the future. It's identifying the parameters that will be key, that we need the technologies to impact those parameters within the network to provide the flexibility and adaptability. This is what really interested me in terms of this programme. It's this tie-in between the socio-economic side and the network technologies. So, how can we address this vision? The key thing for us at the start of the programme is to focus on these socio-economic aspects, the tussles that are happening in the network, the contention for the network resources. So this is a key driver for us, trying to understand those and trying to see how they will impact this future network thinking. Now, another aspect is the design methodologies. We want a design methodology that will bring together this socioeconomic thinking, the parameters with the different technologies that provide us with flexibility and adaptability. So this is the key aspect of the programme from our point of view. We explore how tussles lead to these different technologies, and combine them together provide us with a design methodology. This is captured in this diagram, and it kind of pulls together the different phases that we have within the project and the different work packages. Okay, so from a network point of view, we've identified a number of desirable properties that are driving this particular program. And the first one is robustness and efficiency. We need technologies that provide robustness in the network to meet these different service demands. It has to be done in an efficient manner. Now, very often these two technologies act against each other. Very often, if you want more robustness in your network, you use more network resources, the network becomes less efficient. So a key thing about bringing these two technologies together in the same way, in the same work package, is that we can look at how these can be best married together. The second aspect is the adaptability and the agility. In this, we want to look at techniques that allow networks to be flexibly configured as new services come online. So that's a key issue. And the third is verification and trust. As I mentioned previously, we're beginning to see more and more autonomy in networks. And certainly if I look at something like LTE, LTE has already started to define some autonomic functions within their network. For example, in terms of the overall network structure, base stations can discover other base stations that they need to connect to. There is also a push on the femtocell technology. And of course, femtocell technology requires a different way of configuration. It can't rely on the end user configuration or someone to go into the home and configure that. You can buy it off the shelf, it needs to be configured, it needs to fit into the operator's network. So self-design and operation is a key aspect of this particular program. the design methodology that we want to eventually work towards will support these different aspects of initiation, construction of the network, delivery of services and verification that the network is performing efficiently. This is our high-level plan for the flexible network program. It's actually split into two phases. The first phase is a one-year phase, and here we're really engaging mainly the research assistants from the different universities to really focus in on the different aspects of this program and to identify the key issues. The first work package targets the socio-economic factors. So this is the real stimulation and the motivation for flexibility in the networks. Now, to bring together these socio-economic factors and bring them towards the candidate technologies that we have within the networks. We then look at the different candidate mechanisms that we can use to achieve this flexibility and adaptability in the network design. As I already mentioned, the verification mechanisms will be important in order that the operators have trust that, for example, autonomic functions in the network are working in a way that benefits the operator. And the final result of the program will be a target a new design paradigm by which the networks can be flexibly deployed to meet these different service demands. Okay, so I'll quickly go through each of the work packages and just give a little bit of background on each. This actual program started in January this year, so there's very little to say in terms of results at the moment, but hopefully the going through the program and giving the people feel for the intention of the program will stimulate interest. So the first work packages focuses on the socio-economic side, and really we're trying to provide a socio-economic understanding, and this is focusing on the what we term the tussles between the different stakeholders in the networks. So this could be tussles between what the user wants and what the operator provides, what the service provider requires from the network, and what the operator can do to support those requirements. So there's a lot of different tussles, and it's understanding these different tussles in the network that will help drive this new design thinking. So we'll develop requirements and policies based around this socio-economic thinking, and support the evaluation of the technologies through an evaluation tool. And I think a key part of this is the actual parameterization that will come out of this socio-economic study, because it's those parameters that will then drive the thinking in the network and the different techniques that we use in the network in order to meet these challenges. Some of the socio-economic scenarios that we're currently looking at cover issues such as network sharing. So there's tussle between operators, tussle between resources, how much information do we share between the different operators. And there's a disaster recovery situation. So in this case, network operator has to provide certain services through regulation. So there's a tussle there between the regulatory commitments and the commercial drivers that the operators have. There's other services like mobile voice over IP, and well documented the situation between Skype and various mobile operators. And this really covers the whole value chain, and in fact who owns the customer. So there's a tussle over the customer, there's a tussle over ownership, and so understanding the results of these different tussles and the impacts on the network will be important in the future. There's also tussles in the area of mobile payment, for example. So this is another area on how we support the whole trust and identity in the financial chain. The second work package focuses on the adaptability and the agility. Now it looks at the different candidate technologies that can provide this in a network. So these are the objectives and the contributions. We'll start by looking at the different metrics in the networks that can be used to compare the different approaches in the networks. In terms of digital marketplace, this is something where we're leveraging earlier research in mobile VCE, but trying to take that forward much more into to understand the implementation within the networks. Another technique that helps the flexibility in the networks and the agility in the networks is the visualization. And again, there is a lot of work ongoing in this particular area in the research community. I think what's different in our particular case is we're trying to tie it into these socio-economic aspects and bring it together with these other technologies to provide a overall design methodology. And that's a challenge. And other techniques such as self-organising within networks, reconfiguration of the overall architecture, and also QoS and multi-routing. The next web package focuses on the robustness and efficiency within the networks. And again, this is something I've previously mentioned. These two attributes are sometimes loggerheads with each other. To provide robustness, sometimes you lose the efficiency. So I think bringing these together in the same work package will provide us with innovative thinking in this area. And the techniques we're looking at here are things like network coding. So network coding is an important aspect of this particular work, and how the network can react under these different socio-economic factors, and how that network coding can be done within the network. And this is an area of interest also for the Green Radio program. So we've already had inter-project cooperation and had a meeting last month with the Green Radio program team. An aspect where network coding does help is on the multipath routing, and again this adds to the reliability. And finally, solution evaluation through demonstrations. We already have a testbed in place, which we again will leverage in this particular program. The network verification accountability work package. But this is, in some respects, driven by this self-star networks, which is a popular theme at the moment. But basically, techniques to provide more autonomy in networks. There's a number of ongoing programs in this, and the key thing from the operator point of view is how do we provide them with the trust that the autonomic features in the network are behaving as the operator would like. So I think this is a key part of this particular program. How does the operator trust these particular features? Okay, and all these different work packages will eventually come together during the third year, or to consolidate a design methodology based around these socio-economic parameters and based around these different technologies. So this is where we bring together this design methodology to say, how can we really flexibly change the network? How can we have a flexible design that helps networks to be agile and meet these variety of different service demands and the business models? This figure on the bottom part of the screen really tries to demonstrate that we're now thinking of an autonomic process by which these socio-economic drivers can be collected and interpreted and can be incorporated directly into the network. It's a very ambitious, very interesting area. Okay, so my concluding remarks on this. First of all, I think this flexible network program is taking a novel approach. As I mentioned, I've been involved in a number of networking projects, and I think this is something that's new and different. I don't know of other networking project that's taking this approach of self-design. I don't know any other projects on the network in the networking community that's looking at trying to link these socio-economic drivers to network parameters. We're also dealing with converged networks, so we focus on the composition of these networks and how they can be used to improve service delivery. So as new services come along, we want to be able to flexibly adapt our network to those services, again depending on operator policy. It'll be pushing the boundaries of networking, particularly for self-evolving, virtualized, robust and flexible networks. And the key thing is we're looking at the networks being adaptive. So we're no longer designed 4 years hence, they really adapt to the new services as they come online. So I think that's a key part of the program. I think this whole program has strong relevance to operators of networks. Of course, we're talking about how the networks are designed flexibly. Network equipment providers. I think the network equipment providers will need to provide the right interfaces to enable the flexible networks to adapt to these types of requirements. Of course, service providers, because the service providers, again, the networks will provide the interfaces to the service providers, so they can take advantage of the flexibility within the network to meet their particular requirements. Okay, so in terms of our future meetings, very very similar structure, of course, to what Jason mentioned in his presentation. We have an industrial steering meeting on the 3rd of April in Guildford University. All industrial people invited. We're planning a socio-economic scenario workshop. Now, I alluded to a few of the scenarios that we're looking at. We target in April for this, but as yet we've not decided on a particular date or venue. But I think this will be very interesting and very important stage of our thinking. There's an ISG meeting in on the 24th of June. It's still to be confirmed, but at the moment I'm planning to host that in Fujitsu Labs in Hayes, and another ISG meeting on the 30th of September. Certainly industrial participation is welcome as always. I think it's a good time to join the programme, because it's a time when we can influence the you know, the direction and the thinking among the different universities. And please speak to me later, or email me, or speak to Walter or any of the other members in the team if you want more information on this particular programme.